Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
Join us. Again, this is Ecclesia Principles, and we're talking about God's viewpoint of government and the instruction that he gives. And we're going to be talking again today about unalienable rights, because the Thomas Jefferson, writing the Declaration of Independence, he made a statement. He said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident." I remember one time hearing the Declaration of Independence read. That statement hit me, and I thought, I don't necessarily see those truths as self-evident. And he was talking about, and they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. So obviously, he had a religious source that was telling him that there were unalienable rights, and that from that religious source, they were self-evident. And I'm like, I know he was talking about the Bible. So evidently, he was studying things in a different way than I was. The people of that day were studying things different than me. And I'm like, maybe I just need to start looking at this. And so I began to look at government as it's spoken of in the Bible. Now, today, I'm going to get more into that piece, but I want to lay a framework here in this first segment. And that is that there are worldviews. Worldviews, and there's a lot of different names for different types of worldviews. But if you would, there are divisions of worldviews. The first division is that some worldviews accept a supernatural element. Other worldviews do not accept a supernatural element. If you would, obviously, those who accept a supernatural element, there is a God of some sort, depending on the worldview. On the flip side, the views that do not accept a supernatural element do not see a God. As a result of that, something else has to take the place of supreme authority. Religious views, where there is a God, then that God is the supreme authority, depending on what worldview it is, but that is the supreme authority. Where there is no supernatural element, there is no God, then something else has to be the God. Something else has to be the ultimate authority. And you see, right now, we have a number of people trying to create an amoral society where there is no authority apart from people. Now, with that, in the non-supernatural branch of worldviews, you know, the individual can be the supreme authority. That it's up to you. You have your own truth. You're the authority, totally, in your life. There is nothing else that can judge you. People love to say, "Oh, you can't judge me, you can't judge me," and they think they're quoting the Bible, and they're really not. Or it can be that there is no judgment. There's nothing that has meaning. There is nothing that determines right and wrong, because all we are a mass of cells and molecules. Or it can be, and this is what is gaining traction in our country today, that there is a group of people who know best, and it's what they say that is the final authority. And that denies a supernatural element to the approach to life, because a worldview is ultimately, if you would, it's the assumptions. It's the things, well, you know, I can't prove to you that there's a God. Now, there's things that causes me to believe that. Those things are called my assumptions. I assume they're true. I assume that the Bible is true and it's accurate. I believe it with all of my heart. I cannot prove it to you. I can show you fulfilled scriptures and prophecies and so forth. But ultimately, I cannot prove to you that there is a God. It comes down to an element of faith. On the flip side, those who do not believe in a supernatural element in their worldview, their approach to life, other things shape their opinions, shape their values. The thing of it is, the crazy thing is, nowadays you've got a lot of people who believe in a supernatural element, but their approach to life is the same as those who do not believe in a God. There's virtually no difference. And the difference in that is they believe there's a God, but his word has no authority in how we should live life. And so with this, that determines how you look at liberty. You cannot have unalienable rights without a God. You can't have one without a God. There are no unalienable rights. That's why a whole lot of people today are fine with getting rid of those rights that are a part of our Constitution, because they do not see them as unalienable, because they do not see a creator who has given them to us. Stay with us through this break, and we'll be right back.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determine their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
Now, in talking about unalienable rights, and with that, liberty. Liberty is one of those unalienable rights. The worldview that a person holds, whether it is containing a supernatural element, or in this particular case, let me call it a biblical worldview, or there is a humanistic worldview that it's based solely upon humans, that the final authority is humans. Humans determine everything. Depending on which one of those people see the world through determines how they look at unalienable rights. Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration and the Founding Fathers saw a creator who gave unalienable rights, and we've looked at how that happened. And if you didn't get to hear that, we encourage you to go back and listen to that on unalienable rights. In this situation, those who do not believe in a supernatural element, they do not believe in a biblical worldview, they don't believe in a God, then all rights are given by government. They're given by the state, if you would, depending on the type of government that it is, whether it is a monarch, whether it is a democracy. In a pure democracy, which America is not a democracy, it always makes me just scratch my head when you have people passing themselves off as understanding things and they talk about America being a democracy. We're not. We're a democratic republic. And that, when you understand that, that changes a whole lot of things. Now, but those who see no God, then some form of humanity is at the top of the list, some form. Now, with that, there are those who believe that, again, we're just a clump of cells, we're molecules, therefore life has no meaning. And with that, there is no final authority. Again, there's my truth, you've got your truth, you live by this. There is nothing objective that stands apart from any of us. And those who are really firmly entrenched in that view basically see life as meaningless. We're just a group of molecules going through life, and then when we die, those molecules will be something else, and there you go. And it just has no purpose. Now, on the flip side, in that same area, those who do not believe in a supernatural element, if they believe that the individual is at the top, not that everything is meaningless and not that a group of people is at the top. If they believe the individual is at the top, you ultimately will have chaos from that standpoint, because then I should be allowed to do whatever I think is right. I have the final authority. Again, this is another one that goes back to my truth. I have the right to decide, and I have the right to say in all situations and all circumstances. It should not matter because I am at the top of my life. And they will reference freedom. And again, there's a difference between freedom and liberty. Liberty is freedom within a framework. Freedom is just unrestrained. Now, with this, the meaning and the values are assigned by each individual person. It matters to you, doesn't matter to you. Each one, if you would, each individual, in a sense, is playing God. They're putting themselves in the position to totally determine right and wrong, what should be done, what should not be done. There is no standing apart of truth that things have to be lined up to. Now, the third group in that, as we talked about, is those that believe it's not the individual, it is the collective. It is a group of people, either all of people or a select group of people. They are the ones that decide right and wrong. They are the ones that decide what has value and how much value it has. In that, the common denominator of all three of these groups, states, governments, are the giver of rights. The state totally determines what you're allowed to do, what you should do, what you can do, and they are the final authority. That is not biblical. It is not even the foundation of our country. That's why in the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That basically is saying the state does not give the rights. The state can only either acknowledge the rights or violate the rights. That's that worldview where there is a God. But all that see either the individual or a collection of people at the top, they have to see the state as the giver of rights. And this is ultimately the crux of the situation that we're dealing with today. Do we believe that God is at the top of the list, that there is a truth that we have to live to and we should abide by? Is there a standard that he is expecting that is above all of us? Or are we the final authority? Is a group of us the final authority? If so, then we determine what rights people have, what they can do, what they can't do. Or is God the giver of rights? See, not only does God give rights, he also says what's right and what's wrong. God determines that in that situation. We're not living under the biblical law, but we're under the spirit of the law, if you would. And so we need to understand these things. If we are thinking that people determine all of this through whatever form, we do not have a view of life that is consistent with Scripture. And ultimately, you do not believe that you have unalienable rights. Even if you say you do, you really don't, because it's like, you know, here in the Shenandoah Valley, we're right next to Interstate 81. Interstate 81, from where we are, if you get on 81 South, it'll take you to Roanoke. It'll take you to Bristol if you keep going. It will not take you to Winchester. Bottom line, if you believe humans are at the top of the chain, if you would, the food chain, of authority and determination, then you cannot believe in unalienable rights. Because at that point, if people are at the top, then they give or they take away, and there is nothing that is consistent. Well, stay with us through this break, and we will be right back.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
Here in segment three, I want to start looking at those who believe in a supernatural element, with our primary emphasis being on a biblical worldview, an assumption of things consistent with Scripture. Now, where the humanistic element, where there is no supernatural element, rights are given by the state. In the supernatural element, where you believe that there is a God, that God actually stands above all other things, that there is a supreme being, if you would, from that standpoint, then everyone there believes that rights are given by God, or at least they're not really given by the state. That the state is at least either consistent with God or inconsistent with God. From a biblical perspective, again, Thomas Jefferson's statement, we hold these truths to be self-evident. When we see that there is a God and he speaks to the areas of life, all areas of life, and he establishes a moral standard. You know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. See, here's the thing. You see, the people that oppose the Ten Commandments being up in buildings, they do it under the guise of there's not to be an establishment of religion. That is really not what's really behind it. Ultimately, what is behind it is there is no spiritual, supernatural element. Therefore, anything that attributes a standard different than something coming from a human, it has no place in our culture. Because, you see, ultimately, worldviews dictate culture. Worldviews dictate culture. And you have people who are wanting to eliminate any worldview, or at least render it irrelevant, that has a God in it. It doesn't have a place in the marketplace. It doesn't have a place in the city square. It doesn't have a place in dialogue. It is irrelevant. Do what you want in your church. Do what you want inside those walls. Keep it away from the rest of us because it is irrelevant, because over here, humans are the authority. We do not have a God. But all who believe in a God ultimately believe that that God does determine what's right and what's wrong. Now, with that, that's where we get the concept of unalienable rights. God, in saying, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, in other words, don't lie, he established a moral standard. He did that. And at that point, we can either accept that moral standard or we can go contrary to that moral standard. But ultimately, it really comes down to what you believe about the God. If you believe God is supreme, you will be inclined to follow his standard. Not that you'll be perfect, but you will be inclined to do that. If you believe that there is no God, and see, this is the thing, again, with people that believe in evolution. See, ultimately, most people really do not realize how much of our culture is broken into two belief systems. One, that there's a creator. Two, that evolution is the deal. Because, see, with evolution, there is no God. And so you have that whole side of thinking. And if there is no God, then there is no sin that got man kicked out of the garden. If there is no sin, there is no sin nature in our flesh. One of the biggest examples of our culture responding to the idea that there is no sin nature, even though this wasn't the terms that were used. But if you'll recall when Vice President Mike Pence talked about the fact that he would not have dinner with a woman unless his wife or someone else was present. The media and our culture ridiculed him. Now, what is wrong with him having that approach? It wasn't he has the freedom to do what he wants. If that's the way he wants to live, then fine. There was no talk about him having the freedom to do that. There was just talk of he's not, what's wrong with him? He's not developed. Doesn't he have control over himself? Ultimately, has he not evolved fully? He hasn't evolved like we have. No, he, in believing that there is a God, recognized that there is a sin nature in human beings, and we all have a propensity, we all have a desire to do things we shouldn't, and we have to guard against that. When we recognize there is a God and he has a standard, then we also recognize humanity has violated that, and there's a sin nature that's the cause of it. Those who do not believe in a creator, a supernatural element, there is no sin nature, and it's just how good you are. The thing that amazes me is so many of those people that think they are so evolved are also the ones that are doing a whole lot of these other things, but they don't think it's a problem if they do it because they have their own reasons. They don't have a moral standard to live to. They have a standard of what's best for me to live to. Stay with us through this break, and we'll be right back.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
All right, here in segment four, what I want to start looking at, we're going to talk a little bit about biblical theocracy, but I want to spend most of the time talking about the fact that the Bible does speak to government function. Now, with that, the Bible deals with all aspects of life. There's nothing that it doesn't touch. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, he talks about how all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished or thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, we know that Romans 13 tells us that government officials are standing in the place of being ministers of God. He says, are they not ministers of God? Now, that doesn't mean that every person who stands in that place is serving the will of God. It just means that governmental positions have been established by God. You can go to Genesis chapter 9 is where God initiated the process of human government. Now, with this, that position is created by God, and he tells us that the scriptures equip us fully for every good work. So if government function is a ministry of God, then the scripture must teach how to function in that place, or else it cannot say legitimately that it can supply everything that is needed for someone to fully please God in that sense. Now, when we get talking about this, and this is where I want to get into biblical theocracy. Oh, we don't need a theocracy. What we're talking about when you talk about a biblical theocracy, well, actually, let me start on the other side first. What most people think about with a theocracy is that religious leaders run the government, like Iran, with the Khomeinis, the religious clerics that are governing the country. And there can be a government, but they're all subject to that religious leader. There's examples of this throughout history, particularly the Holy Roman Empire, that there were kings and queens over different nations, but they were subject to the Pope. And Europe went through so many struggles because of allegiance to the Pope and rebellion to the Pope. There's so much that went on with that. The Bible does not teach a theocracy where religious leaders are running the government. That's not a biblical concept. If you look at the nation of Israel, especially after God granted them a king, if you remember that story, the Israelites wanted a king. They told Samuel they wanted a king. Samuel prayed, and God said, "No, I don't want them to have a king. Tell them what's going to happen if they do." And it went back and forth. And finally, ultimately, God said, "All right, give them a king, and here's where you need to be tomorrow, and you'll see the guy that we'll have as king." And there he came into contact with Saul. With that, Israel began a monarchy. The next king was King David. Now, in this, if you would, there were three primary elements of Israelite society as far as governance. The king ran the government. The prophets spoke for God. And then you had the priesthood who taught. Now, from that, when you look at it, the king was not subject in a sense. He was not under the authority of the prophet or the priest. The king was in charge of the government. Now, at that point, the prophet would speak for God and give the king guidance. The priest could teach the king and the people the principles of God, but the king chose what he would do. Now, biblical history shows us that when the kings served God, then typically the people served God and the nation was blessed. When the king turned against God, the people turned against God, and the nation suffered because of it. There is a biblical principle there that we need to understand and come to grips with. The best thing for our country is godly leadership. It will affect the people. It will affect the conditions of life. Now, with this, you can't take a 4-year term and determine all of that. You have to look over the course of time, and you see that. But the Bible tells us that when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Now, in this, you see the government, every official will ultimately have to give account under a biblical theocracy. Every government official will have to give an account to God for how they managed their office. Did they manage their office consistent with Scripture, or did they follow a humanistic view and do whatever they wanted? Which way did they go? And you see, this is really the question of our time period. Are we going to actually submit to God, Or are we going to do whatever we want to do and just do that? Are we going to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so he can exalt us? Or are we going to function and be in charge and not follow godly principles? That's ultimately the choice that our nation is facing. And with that, it is a choice that the people of God are going to have to make. Because ultimately, the people of God will determine which way this country goes. Are we, as the people of God, who believe in a God who has a standard above everything, do we believe everything must be submitted to him, or just certain things? Do we, as Jesus taught us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Do we actually choose to work for his will to come about in the earth, or do we just let the earth go however it wants to go? Do we actually take an active and participation in how things go? That's the questions we're facing right now. And with that, I would encourage you to do at least one of these three things. One, educate yourself from the Word of God about what God says about government. That's why we're here. Number two, if you see that God does want you to be engaged and that you want to be a part of seeing his will being done on earth as it is in heaven, and I'm not talking about a crazy theocracy where the religious rulers rule the country. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like what our founding fathers did. These principles of God's word are built into our system. It creates unalienable rights. It creates liberty. It creates the pursuit of happiness. It creates life. That's what I'm talking about. Then number three, there are those of you that you need to get involved. You need to actually run for an office. You need to run for a position. Because as long as we allow those who only see a humanistic view of the world and that man is the final authority, as long as that's the only ones that we have to vote for, then you can imagine what you're going to get. And it's not going to be good. You need to engage on those levels as God would lead you. I'm not here to tell you which ones to do, but I am here to encourage you to engage so that we can be a part of seeing God's will fulfilled on the earth. God bless you. See you next week.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.